Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Alright, Mama Africa there, on that line of that beautiful rendition. Right, welcome to Africa Weekly, live on Radio Africana, transmitting live from our communication site here in the heart of the city of, should I say, Manchester or Salford. Right, so on this show, what we do at a time like this is to showcase, Africa through the lens of current affairs, culture, tourism, entertainment, and also sport. Okay, this is where you get nothing but the original African narrative, putting African stories in its proper perspective. And this show comes up every Saturday at 4 p.m. UK time. I know a lot of people are monitoring, listening from different parts of the world. Just work out the difference, the difference in time, so you can be able to enjoy this show from any part of the world. Yeah, in case you don't know, you can get to listen to us, this show, and every other interesting program of this day from any part of the world simply by downloading our app on Apple Store, Play Store. You know, once you have our app on your phone or any gadget, you're good to go. And also, you can do that by simply visiting our website, www.radioafricana.com. And it's that simple. Right, again, welcome to Africa Weekly, live on Radio Africana with your man, Chris Okunua. On the show today, as usual, I've got different thing lineup for your listening pleasure. One is the current of your segment. We bring issues from Africa as it hot, fresh from the news. And then we talk culture, we talk tourism, then entertainment, and we end the show with a sports segment, okay? So today's not going to be different, and I'm starting off without further ado with this one. It's a stronger statement, if you ask me, from the president of Kenya, who wasn't missing words about the call for a place for Africa in the UN, you know, permanent secretary, you know, seat or space, whatever you call it. Yeah, he made his call, a bold one at it, during the week. Yeah, Kenya President William Ruto told the UN General Assembly that Africa's exclusion from permanent membership on the Security Council is unfair and undermines the UN's credibility, arguing the continent bears the heaviest cost of instability, which is true. You know, it's about the UN Security Council. It's the way some Africans see it is like the African countries, from what I understand, have perhaps the strongest voting bloc, but then no representative whatsoever in the permanent Security Council, no permanent seat there. And that's what William Ruto is rooting for now. I think there should definitely be a rethink now, you know, when you talk about the UN and its Security Council as it relates to Africa interest. And it's a good one. I mean, this is not the first time we are hearing a boat call like this, but what will the world leaders do with it this time around is what we're waiting to see, the response from the UN and other government of the world as well. That's a very bold one and a good call there from Kenya President William Ruto. All right, I'll still be taking stories relating to Kenya and their President William Ruto. Now, Kenya's President William Ruto on Wednesday said his country expects to sign a trade deal with the United States by the year end, and that he will be pushing Washington to extend its duty-free agreement with Africa for at least 5 years. Ruto will be meeting with U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio later on. The same Wednesday, the African Growth Opportunity Act, AGOA, is said in an interview on the sidelines of the annual United Nations General Assembly in New York. The 25-year-old act grants qualifying African nations duty-free access to the U.S. market and is due to expire this month. Now, Ruto is pushing for this to be extended for at least another 5 years, and is expected to announce a deal for his country with the U.S. by the end of this year. So that's the stories we like to see: African leaders and, you know, and government pushing, you know, to boost the economic viability of the of their country and by extension the continent as well. Good news, a positive one there for Kenya President William Ruto, speaking about, you know, African having a seat in the U.S. permanent Security Council, and also pushing that the trade deal between U.S. and African countries, eligible African countries anyway, under the act called AGOA, should be extended for at least another 5 years, and is going to push for that, you know, during talks with the U.S. government. That's quite impressive. All right, I'll just move away from Kenya now. Right, and this one is from Central Africa, Democratic Republic of Congo. Now, Democratic Republic of Congo agreed to start implementing security measures under a U.S. mediated deal next month, the country said in a joint statement, in what would be a key step towards carrying out the peace agreement amid concerns over lack of progress. The agreement, reached in a meeting in Washington on 17 and 18 this month, first reported by Reuters, would see implementation beginning October 1, according to the joint statement, which was also issued by the United States, Qatar, Togo, and the African Union Commission. The countries agreed to complete the measures by the end of the year, three sources familiar with the matter told Reuters. Operations to eliminate the threat of Congo-based armed group, Democratic forces for the liberation of Rwanda and facilitate the withdrawal of Rwanda troops will begin between October 21 and 31st of same month. That's according to sources. You know, there's been talk that, yes, there's been agreement between these two countries. There's a rebel group in DRC Congo, allegedly backed by the Rwanda government or troop, and the president of the US, Trump, mediated, and a deal was agreed months ago, but little had really changed on the ground. The crimes, the killings continue on the ground there in DRC, but now we understand that the implementation of the agreement will start sometime next month, the first of next month to be precise, and there will be gradual withdrawal of Rwanda troops as well from DRC. Hopefully this will be the beginning of a lasting peace for DRC, talking Democratic Republic of Congo, a country that is so rich in natural resources but over the last decade has been plagued by a series of wars, unrest, and some political turmoil as well. Okay, that's a positive one. A lot of positive news so far, and that's one thing that we like to see when we talk Africa. All right, now let's talk about this one from Seychelles. The people of Seychelles have voted today in an election to choose a new leader and parliament, with President Wavre Ramakalwan seeking a second term in Africa's smallest country. Ramakalwan's chief political rival, Patrick Hemily, of the United Seychelles Party, is a veteran lawmaker and parliamentary speaker from 2007 to 2016. Polls opened at 7 a.m. in a sign of what was expected to be a strong voter turnout in the tourist haven, where the president is elected for a five-year term. Long lines formed at many polling stations across the country on Saturday. Electoral authorities said all stations opened on time and voting was proceeding smoothly. Good one there. We'll be here to monitor things and get the outcome of this particular one, talking the result of this Seychelles general election, which get underway this morning in Seychelles. All right, in a related development, Malawi President Lazarus Chakwera has considered defeat. He considered defeat on Wednesday in this month's election and pledged to ensure a peaceful transfer of power to his main rival, Peter Mutharika, who has built a commanding lead based on results so far. That was as of Wednesday when this report was filed. Now, Malawi's Electoral Commission had been due to release the final result on same day but delayed its announcement until the evening of same Wednesday. It is only right that I concede defeat out of respect for your will and citizens. And out of respect for you, we as citizens, and out of respect for the constitution. That's coming from Chakwera. So these are also positive news, if you ask me. For a long time in Africa, it is believed that the leaders always like to sit tight. They don't really want to relinquish power, even in an electoral way or manner. I mean, we've seen this happen before, that the former president of Nigeria, Dr. Goodluck Ebele Jonathan, come to mind when he considered defeat to his opposition at the time, late General Muhammadu Buhari. That was a good example for the rest of Africa to follow. And now we are having the incumbent in Malawi consider defeat to a rival. So positive one there for Africa democracy. Hopefully this will yield more positive fruit for Malawi and by extension the rest of the Africa continent. Alright, I'm still talking elections related news. A lot of elections related news now, and they've been quite positive if you ask me. This one is from Kenya. That's me heading back to Kenya. Now, Uganda opposition leader Robert Kagunai, popularly known as Bobi Wine, has been declared to run In the presidential election scheduled to hold in January, the Electoral Commission has confirmed a week after rejecting his initial submission after Wednesday's decision when a pop star turned politician can once again challenge President Yoweri Museveni, who is seeking a record seventh term in office. The 81-year-old has ruled the country since 1986. Wow. Yeah, that's when Yoweri Museveni has been in power. Since 1986, that's some 39 years reign in power. But if the constitution permits this, then you really cannot go against it. But there's someone that is going against Museveni. His name is Bobi Wine. He's a pop star in Uganda. He has contested against him before, didn't quite end well for Bobi Wine the last time. He's coming up again to contest. Initially, his nomination was rejected kind of by the Electoral Commission, but now it has been accepted and confirmed by the Electoral Authority in Uganda. I beg your pardon, not Kenya. Alright, during the last election in 2021, Wani secured 35% of the vote, while Museveni won with 58%, his poorest margin of victory since taking power. After the result, Wani accused Museveni of ballot stuffing and fraud, and at least 54 people were killed while protesting against the outcome. Wani was placed under house arrest in the aftermath. Wani's National Unity Platform, NUP Party, has the largest number of seats among the opposition in parliament, with much of its support coming from working class community in urban areas. Museveni urged his supporter to back his vision for Uganda's future after electoral officials announced his nomination near Kampala on Tuesday. A constitutional amendment in 2017 removed the presidential age limit of 75, allowing him to extend his rule. Right, I just talked about African leaders sitting tight earlier when I read the news that the Malawian president conceded defeat to his rival. This might just be some kind of example of leaders in Africa not wanting to vacate power, and we'll see if Bobi Wine this time around will be able to dislodge Yoweri Museveni. Hopefully this will be the elections will take place in a peaceful atmosphere, an atmosphere devoid of tension, devoid of unrest, devoid of irregularity, so the real will of the people we prevail at the end of the day. All the best to the Ugandans as they prepare for their next election come January. Again, we'll be here to monitor things. Right now it's time to go back to Kenya, like I've said earlier, mistakenly anyway. More than 20 people have been rescued in Kenya from a suspected human trafficking ring that lured them with job offers in Russia but intended to send them to fight in Ukraine. That's according to police. It follows an intelligence-led raid on a residential apartment on the outskirts of the capital, Nairobi, where officers seized recruitment materials, travel documents, and job offer letters. One suspect accused of coordinating the victim's travel to Russia in September and October has been arrested as well. He was taken to court, which allowed him to be detained for 10 days while the police complete their investigations. There have been growing concerns over the rising number of Kenyans being trafficked abroad under the first job promises. A young Kenyan athlete was recently captured in Ukraine, saying he was tricked into joining the Russian army. Right, that's a kind of a tricky one there. Police are busting, some sort of syndicate notorious for trafficking Kenyans down to Russia with a promise of job, and that some of these trafficking victims ended up in the war front in Ukraine fighting on the side of Russia, and then when they are being trafficked from Kenya, they were promised a different job entirely. That's according to report anyway. We understand the police in Kenya are trying to investigate this properly, but a few individuals involved in these has been arrested and charged to court, which allow for their detainment for at least 10 days while the Kenya police intensify investigation into this. A very sad one. Then trafficking in any form is not good at all. It's something the world should stamp out, kicked against. And this will be the last one on the news segment of this show, African Weekly, live on Radio Africana. Now it's about Lesotho. Now, Lesotho's trade minister said during the week that the US plan to extend the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act, AGOA, which covers the continent which gives the continent preferential access to the US market by a year after returning from a visit to Washington, a slew of tariffs that US President Donald Trump imposed on global trading partners on April 14. That on April 4 hit African countries hard. They were widely seen as the death knell for the quarter century old AGOA deal, putting millions of livelihoods at risk. Lesotho initially got hit with the world's highest tariff of 50% on Trump's so-called Liberation Day ruinous for the tiny mountain kingdom's export-led development model, which was almost entirely dependent on textile factories selling jeans and t-shirts to the US. Right. Trump reduced it to 15% in August. A Lesotho trade delegation visited the US from September 15 to 19. Minister of Trade, Industry and Business Development Mokhethi Shelile, who led the delegation, told a news conference during the week that they met US officials responsible for AGOA on the House of Representatives Ways and Means Committee and the Senate Finance Committee. They all agreed that AGOA has to be extended, and they promised us that by November or December at least, it will be extended by a year. So the AGOA Act is still going to be in place to the benefit of these African countries very much involved in trade to the US. That's what Kenya President William Ruto was saying. He's going to push personally for it to be extended for at least 5 years. And that's a kind of a welcome development to African countries trading with the US. If you have 5 years to prepare for a possible tariff adjustment, I think that's a good thing, enough time for you to plan to adjust to any sort of tariff coming from the US, and maybe to try and diversify your trading as well as an alternative. I mean, everyone has needed got to give him a bit of time to adjust to any change or any adjustment. So that's a good one there for African countries and from US, or maybe good one as well for US, because at the end of the day, every trade deal is about win-win situation for all parties involved. Okay, that's gonna be it today on the news segment of this show, Africa Weekly. We're gonna take a pause, and when we come back, it will be time for us to talk culture and tourism on the show. We'll take a pause now, and then we'll be back after this time out for music.
Kasongo ye ye, mobali nangai, kasongo ngana weho, songa libala e,
libala nanda ko kasongo, batuna kengai,
nanda
zali wapi e, naloba nini e,
kasongo ye ye, mobali nangai, kasongo ngana weho, songa libala e. Kasongo yeye mobali na ngai Kasongo ngana weyo songa libala
libala na ndako Kasongo batu na kengai tata zari wapi naloba nini
Kasongo yeye mobali na ngai Kasongo ngana weyo songa libala
Welcome back to Africa Weekly on Radio Africana with your anchor man Chris Okuno. And now we're moving on the show. We'll turn with the news and current affairs segment of the show. And it's time for us to talk culture and tourism now, because we want you to visit motherland Africa. We want you to enjoy the beauty of Africa, behold it and see it for yourself. That's why we try as much as possible to showcase Africa culture and beauty here by picking a particular group, a particular tribe or culture, and talk about them. On this show today, we'll still be talking about we'll be talking about a particular group in Congo Democratic Republic. Right, and this group are known as the Congo people. Quite, of course, you can tell that's where the name of the country, was derived from. Now, the Congo people, also Bakongo, are a Bantu ethnic group primarily defined as the speakers of Kikongo. Subgroups of this group include the Bembe, the Buwende, the Vili, Sundi, Yumbi, Dondo, Lari, and many others. They have lived along the Atlantic coast of Central Africa in a region that by the 15th century was a centralized and a well-organized kingdom of Congo, but is now a part of three countries. Their highest concentrations are found in south of Pointe-Noire in the Republic of the Congo, southwest of Pou-Malabo, and west of the Kwango River in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, north of Luanda, that's in Angola as well, and southwest Gabon. So about four countries really, if you look at it, where you find the Congo people. We have them in Congo Brazzaville, in Congo Kinshasa, that's the Congo Democratic Republic, and the Congo Republic, which is Congo Brazzaville. Then we have them as well in Angola, and we have some in Gabon. So these Congo people spread across Central Africa quite well, and maybe the northernmost part of Southern Africa as well. They are the largest ethnic group in the Republic of the Congo and one of the major ethnic groups in the other countries they are found in. In 1975, the population was reported as 4,040,000 people. That's talking the Congo, that's quite huge. The Congo people were among the earliest indigenous Africans to welcome Portuguese traders in the 15th century and began converting to Catholicism in the late 15th century. They were among the first to protest slave capture in letters to the King of Portugal in the early 1500s, and then succumbed to the demand for slaves from the Portuguese throughout the 16th century. From the 16th to 19th century as well, the Congo people became both victims and victimizers in the raiding, capturing and selling of slaves to Europeans. The export trade of African slaves to the European colonial interest reached its peak in 17th and 18th century. The slave raids, colonial wars, and the 19th century scramble for Africa split the Congo people into Portuguese, Belgian, and French parts. In the early 20th century, they became one of the most active ethnic groups in the effort to decolonize Africa, helping liberate the three nations to self-governance. That's some interesting thing about the Congo people. The origin of the name Congo is uncertain, but several theories have been proposed. According to the colonial era scholar Samuel Lessing, the term Congo is possibly derived from a local verb for gathering or assembling. Okay, that's just the possible root or origin of the word Congo. The ancient history of the Congo people has been difficult to ascertain. The region is close to East Africa, considered to be a key to the prehistoric human migrations. This geographical proximity, state John Vasina, suggests that the Congo River region, home of the Congo people, was populated thousands of years ago. Ancient archaeological evidence linked to Congo people has not been found, yeah? And glossochronology, or the estimation of ethnic group chronologies based on language evolution, has been applied to the Congo. Based on this, it is likely the Congo language and Gabon Congo language split about 950 BC. Alright, let's talk about the Kingdom of Congo, because they built one of the most thriving kingdoms in Africa in pre-colonial times. Congo oral tradition suggests that the Kingdom of Congo was founded before the 14th century and the 13th century, probably. The Congo was modern not on hereditary succession as was common in Europe, but based on the election by the court nobles from the Congo people. This required a king to win his legitimacy by a process of recognizing his peers, consensus building, as well as regalia and religious ritualism. The kingdom had many trading centers both near rivers and inland, distributed across hundreds of kilometers. Mbanza Congo, its capital, was about 200 kilometers inland from the Atlantic coast. So they had a thriving kingdom and civilization in pre-colonial time, and they enjoyed good trade with Portuguese people as well, later French and Belgian. I understand the later part of their trade with European, you know, authorities weren't so pleasant because it was all characterized with slave trade, colonialism, and exploitation as well. The trade between Congo people and Portuguese thereafter accelerated through 1500, and it really benefited the country initially anyway. All right, we're going to leave that off the slave trade and some other pre-colonial history of culture of the Congolese people. Now, after the death, let's talk about the colonial era. After the death of Dona Beatrice in 1706, another 3 years of wars with the help of the Portuguese, Pedro IV was able to get back much of the old Congo kingdom. The conflict continued through the 18th century, however, and the demand for and the caravan of Congo and non-Congo people as captured slaves kept rising, headed to the Atlantic port. Although in Portuguese document, all of Congo people were technically under one ruler, they were no longer governed that way by the mid 15th century. Right, it's a long read, a lot to read and share about the Congo people, but because of time, we're just going to skip through and talk about their society and culture. The large Bakongo society feature a diversity of occupations. Some are farmers who grow staples and catch crops. Among the staples are cassava, bananas, maize, taro, and sweet potatoes. Other crops include peanuts and beans. The cash crop were introduced by the colonial rulers, and these include coffee and cacao. For the chocolate industry, palm oil is another export commodity, while the traditional urena is a farming food. Some Congo people fish and hunt, but most work in factories and trade in towns. So economically, they've always been, you know, buoyant, talking the Congolese people. Okay, in case you want to learn more about Congo and you want to visit Congo, all right, there are some places, breathtaking places, sites that you can see. Among them, we have the Inga Dam. The Inga Dam, located in the Congo Central Province of Congo Kinshasa, is one of the largest hydroelectric power stations in the world. Wow. Then we have the Basoko National Park, beautiful site there that I can see from here. Then the Kinsuka Beach is another place you can visit, not forgetting the Mbaza Ngungu and Luozi, that's a place, and the Zongo Falls, you know, very beautiful. I can see all these on my screen here. The Matadi port, a lot of beautiful, and then the Congo River as well. That's just lovely. All right, the Congo River and Wazi Nation Reserve. A lot of places nature has blessed the Congo people with. These are places you can visit and see the beauty in the land for yourself. Okay, yeah, that's just going to be about the culture and tourism segment of the show today. So we're going on another quick break, and when we come back, it will be time to talk entertainment briefly, and then after which we end the show with a sports segment. Now let's take a pause to enjoy this one from a Congolese and African superstar. His name is Fally Ipupa. He caught his one, Mayday. I love this song particularly, just can't get enough of it. So let's enjoy Mayday from Fally Ipupa, and we'll be back to talk entertainment.
Amoureux en moi, ma veveille vivant, mon amour, tu m'as une bonne fois, Adolphe. Ah, papa Nalébi, réponds-moi, pardon chéri. Si mes tiens réservés, ni boulou, basombi, cabo, famille, balémi, co-consolé, ma peau, nas amourant.
Déjà,
ah, papa Nalébi. Réponds-moi, amour teba. Si mes tiens réservés, ni boulou, basombi, cabo, famille, balémi, co-consolé, ma peau, nas amourant.
Déjà, les airs de saveur, Adolphe Mouteba, Gila Mouina, Calaboué.
N'a comment qu'on vivre et vina n'a caché. Pour réputation n'a n'est comment souillé. N'a comment passer même pas semaine saoulé. Pour bolingo c'est loin n'a n'a. Adolphe, faut que loin de moi. Pardon, boy, come away. Ah, maman, ma vie toujours compliquée. Depuis mon tebakena,
Adolphe,
mi amore, tu la mouina. Depuis okena, nana, moto, te. Mon limon, aneti, kanzo, ton amana, défaut. Mon amour, salozona.
Sezolela na beleli na zolela Adolphe Mouteba Chila mwina awa na za motema pasi na mawa. Nana lela Adolphe, matin, midi, soir. Naina, comment abonner na
avance. Ya nene na koma avance. Bamba na balilinga pe avance. Bamba na nana trop d'avance.
Doris Pembe.
Avant l'heure de valeur. Bamba na balilinga pe avance. Medei, medei, medei. Pardon, boyo kamawa.
Alright, that's Made It by Fally Ipupa, Congolese American Superstar. A beautiful rendition and composition there from this superstar. Right, quickly, let's talk entertainment and the entertainment story that I've got here. It's from Nigeria, of course. Surprisingly, we've not taken anything from Nigeria, but let's take this one on the entertainment front from Nigeria. Now, media personality Dotun has stepped into the ongoing controversy about rape and infidelity allegations against Peter Okoye, one half of the famous defunct music duo P Square. In a post on X, formerly Twitter, during the week, the celebrity hype man urged Okoye to follow through with his threat to initiate a lawsuit against his accuser. He noted that he has been a target of online vitriol due to similar allegations, declaring his desire to make an example of the perpetrators. His tweet, and I read, I'm reading his tweet now. Listen, at Rude Boy P-Square, if you leave that gear, we go fight. I am looking for a scapegoat too. I mean it. The damage is unbelievable. It hurts to the faintings, you know, are not true about your personal life, especially when some especially when some people say it in such with such audacity with no proof. I have gone through this for years, but one day will be one day. No one has the monopoly of madness. That's coming from Dotun, encouraging Peter of P Square to go all the way and, you know, fight against his accusers. Of course, encouraging him to use the court of law, not Peter, Paul Okoye. Yeah, that's the road boy. Yeah, this has really dominated talks, in which, particularly in the entertainment space in Nigeria, you know, someone accusing Paul Okoye and these allegations in relation to infidelity and all of that were really, really unfounded. That's according to the singer himself. And Dotun is giving his voice to Paul Okoye to go all the way and make sure this lady in question face the rod of the law for false accusation, defamation, libel, you name it. A lot of charges definitely have been touted as a possible one to be brought up against this lady in question. Okay, now we are at the home stretch of this show, and it will be time for us to talk sport on the show today. And with that, we're going to talk about leagues in Africa and also the Premier League, which we had no enough time to talk about last time. So we're going to talk about all that, and we'll be starting from the UK, from England. That's talking the English Premier League matches ongoing. And earlier today, Manchester United yet again. My producer in the studio just can't believe it. It's still a shock. United losing 3-1 to Brentford, and that's not so good for United under manager Ruben Amorim. It's always same story with different manager in charge of Manchester United. So a lot of fans are waiting, when will the fortune of Manchester United change for good in the post Alex Ferguson era? It's been moving from bad to worse. Now, today is another day that United fans, you know, feel like, no, when are we going to have those days again? Because the results are not just encouraging at all. Okay, it's not just about United and Chelsea on their part are trailing at home 1-2 to Brighton at the Stamford Bridge. Chelsea as well has not been having it so good lately in the league, and Enzo Maresca definitely we have some work to do to improve the fortune of Chelsea. And Crystal Palace are leading Liverpool by a long goal. We are in the 84th minute as we speak, and maybe some time left for Liverpool to turn things around, and it's going to be their first defeat of the season. We'll wait to see. Leeds United and Bournemouth are playing 2-2 deep into stoppage's time. The Manchester City leading 4-1 against Burnley. So in a matter of seconds, yeah, some of this game will be done and dusted for City. They are confirmed winner of these 4-1 in deep into stoppage's time. You don't expect Burnley to pull a remarkable comeback there. Nottingham Forest will take on Sunderland later today. Then it's going to be Tottenham versus Wolves. Okay, let's see if we have enough time to look at the results and fixtures there in La Liga, because my producer in the studio is just giving me the sign that I should get ready to leave. Okay, Atletico Madrid and Real Madrid, the derby ongoing, and then I can tell you it's not looking good for Madrid. 70 minutes gone, 4-2 in favor of Atletico at the Metropolitan, at the home of Atletico. 20 minutes left. We'll see if the likes of Mbappe can get to turn things around for the Galacticos, but they are trailing their city rivals Atletico 2-4 at the minute. Later today is going to be Mallorca versus Deportivo Alaves. Villarreal will take on Athletic Club as well. So that's the fixtures for today. And in La Liga, we'll see Barcelona taking Real Sociedad tomorrow. Then Valencia hosts Real Oviedo on Monday. So these are some of the fixtures from La Liga. Let's go on to quickly talk about the fixtures in Italian Serie A, where we have a few Africans as well playing their trade. We understand Ademola Lookman has been reintegrated back into the fold there with Atalanta. He went, should I say, hour now over failure to get his transfer wish, but even Juric, the coach of Atalanta, has brought him back to the fold, and is likely going to feature this week like he got a cameo last time out. So today it's going to be Juventus versus Atalanta, one of the biggest matches in the Italian Serie A calendar. It's going to go down today at the Juventus Stadium, and the Cagliari also host Inter Milan today. Tomorrow we have host of fixtures: Sassuolo host Udinese, AS Roma versus Hellas Verona, Pisa take on Fiorentina, Lecce versus Bologna, and the biggest one in which we involve an African man, Ngeza, in the color of Napoli. They will take on AC Milan in the San Siro Stadium. So that's a big match to watch out for tomorrow in Italian Serie A. And like I say, big matches in leagues across Europe. You definitely have some Africans featuring in it. So that's why you need to watch out and see how those Africans fare in these games. Big game tomorrow involving AC Milan and Napoli in the Italian Serie A. Unfortunately, we don't have enough time to take fixtures from leagues in Africa or stories from African sport, in the continent. We understand the cycling tourneys ongoing in Rwanda for the first time in Africa, but for the sake of time, I'm a manager. My producer, beg your pardon, Martin de Preyon, means to leave timely. I just can't go into that. Maybe next week we'll have enough time to bring you update, from Africa Sport. Thanks so much for hanging around this week on this show, Africa Weekly. The show returns next week, Saturday, same time, 4 p.m. That's UK time. My name is Chris Okunua. Do enjoy the rest of your weekend, and I'll be with you again next weekend. Bye for now.
this day, cause it's the greatest day of our life. See, no matter what happens, at least we can say we came, we saw, we tried.
We're choosing the way.
Anybody, when no one does a G,